I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion time, where today we're going to be talking about planning in motion. It's this idea that oftentimes we sit and we plan, but we're never going to be able to figure it all out just sitting still planning. It's only when we begin to put things in motion that we begin to truly get the plans. As we begin to take one step forward, the next step begins to unfold before us as God begins to unfold these steps and the light grows brighter and brighter. So it's this idea of doing planning in motion. It's getting a plan, but then also understanding that the plan is going to unfold more and more as you begin to take action, as you begin to move forward. But let's get started with prayer. If you're new to us here, the way we do these daily communion times is we start with our 30-day prayer challenge prayer, which is about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a couple minutes to do the other half of prayer, to get still, to listen, to examine ourselves, and we plan our upcoming day with God, talking about planning in motion, putting a plan in place, and then beginning to execute the plan. And the plan may adapt and change as the day unfolds, but that's where we have to execute, trusting that God's with us. He's already gone ahead of us. He knows what's ahead of us. And he's right there with us in the present moment, helping us to execute those things that we know to do right now in this present moment. But let's get started with the prayer, and then we'll get into our time of communion after the other half of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just pray for everybody who's watching or listening, all their families, their friends, everybody connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And Father, I just thank you for releasing us from the darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, I just keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, we just ask you to bless us, to bless our time here together today, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and your grace and your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. We ask you to keep your hand on us. Help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So our next step is to begin going through the other half of prayer. And our first step is getting positioned in the light. We've been released from the darkness, transferred into the light. And that happens through the forgiveness of sins. We've been transferred into the kingdom of God's dear Son. That happens through the forgiveness of sins. But that forgiveness has to be received from God. So in anything that you feel like you've missed the mark, we can simply run to God and we'll always be given grace and mercy in our time of need. Receive that grace and forgiveness from him. Just a simple thank you, bringing it to him and just receiving it. Then it's got to flow through us. We got to give ourselves that same grace and forgiveness. We often beat ourselves up and condemn ourselves and put all this pressure on ourselves to get everything perfect. Giving yourself that same grace and mercy that God has given you, and then letting it flow through you to other people, to give them the same grace and mercy that God has given you, which means what? We have to release some things. God's releasing us from darkness, releasing us from our sins. We have to learn to do that for ourselves and for other people as well. We got to let some things go. Ways that we've missed it, ways that other people have missed it, ways they've wronged us. We got to let some things go and give them that same grace and mercy God has given us. That's how we get into the light. So we get positioned in the light, but then we have to magnify that light. That light has to grow brighter and brighter. How do we do that? We can begin to magnify the light through gratitude and focusing on God, praising and gratitude for Him, focusing on what's going well in our lives. So just taking a second here, just to write down a few things that you're grateful for over the last 24 hours, and then a few things. What steps forward did you take recently? Yesterday, over the last 24 hours, what steps forward did you take? What steps did you get accomplished? Often we get caught up looking out at the future and saying how, you know, I'm not there yet. I have all this distance to still go, and it looks big and overwhelming. Or we get focused on all the things that are wrong, all the evil that's happening in the world. We get focused on darkness, but we can begin to magnify the light, focus on God, focus on what's going well, focus on how much He loves you, that nothing's impossible with Him, that He can make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency at all times and all things, you can abound to every good work. Begin to focus on those things and begin to magnify those things. Make them bigger in your mind. Make God bigger in your mind than the problems and the issues that are going on. Yes, there are going to be problems and evil things that are happening, but you can choose to focus on God and begin to magnify Him and make Him bigger on the inside of you than those things that are going on out here, and that nothing's impossible for Him. It's just one simple prayer away from whatever help you need for those things. Just one simple prayer. And that's going to begin to show up as the fruit of your emotions and the words that are coming out of your mouth, the thoughts and images that are playing on the inside of your mind. I like to think of our emotions as indicators or feedback, letting me know what I'm magnifying, letting me know what I'm focused on in my heart, in my mind, in my imagination, what I'm speaking about, the things that I'm meditating on. I'm either magnifying light or I'm magnifying darkness, choosing to focus on whatever is lovely, whatever is true, whatever is good report, whatever is beautiful, choosing to magnify those things. Yes, you can acknowledge that there are issues and things like that, but we're not going to magnify them. And when we do that, we begin to get single-minded in our faith. And we begin to get unwavering in our faith. That's the key to this supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. Because we got our minds and hearts fixed on God, fixed on the things above, fixed on the things of heaven, where God is working continually for your good. I like to think of peace as my indicator that I'm single-minded in the faith and not wavering. And I like to think of joy as my indicator that I'm living in the present moment. I'm not focused on the past, not dreading or in fear or worry about an uncertain future. I'm living in the present moment with God's presence here with me. I'm aware of His presence with me because He said, I've already gone before you and I will never leave you or forsake you. And if you've got God with you, He's got steadfast, unfailing love for you, and His love never fails, and nothing is impossible for Him. You're going to be okay. I like to think of joy as my indicator that it's turning the tables, and all of the good things God put in me, His grace and power and presence, all those things are flowing through me. Joy is my indicator, I like to think of, that that's happening, that His grace is flowing through me, because in His presence, there's fullness of joy. And then what do you know to do? Talking about staying in the present moment. We're talking about planning in motion. What do you know to do over the next 24 hours? If we're going to make a plan for the day, what things do you know to do? And what I would highly encourage you on is to stick to the things that you know. Often we try to sit and plan and plan, and I used to do this, and we tried to figure it all out. What do you know to do? Start doing those things. What do you know to do? There might be some things that need to be done, administrative things, things around the house, things in your workplace. And then there might be some things that God is stirring on the inside of you that you know to do. Maybe your conscience is talking to you about something. What are the things that you know to do? And what happens is a beautiful thing when you get started executing those things, because often they pile up on the inside and we feel all this pressure on the inside. And you begin to chip away at the things that you know to do. You begin to clear those things out. You process them. You clear them out of the way. And the pressure begins to reduce in your life. And also your mental clarity, the brain fog begins to leave when you begin to clear those things out. Your ability to hear more clearly from God increases because we don't have all these things in the way that we're thinking about. This beautiful thing happens. You begin to to do the things that you know to do, make a plan of what you know to do, and you begin to execute. And then the next steps just beautifully begin to unfold before you as you begin to walk this thing out. That's what begins to happen. Now, our final question is, what is God teaching you or showing you? What's the most important things he's trying to teach you or to show you over the last 24 hours? Taking just a couple minutes to reflect. What's God teaching you? What's he showing? What's he showing you? What's he saying to you recently? He's always trying to speak to us, and it's his voice that leads us to this spacious, beautiful place, free from all restriction. Your table laden with choice food. That's Job chapter 36, 16. He's wooing you from the jaws of distress to this spacious, beautiful place. And it's his voice that leads you along that path. So taking the time to listen and to tune in to him on a regular basis. But I've been thinking about this idea of planning in motion. Like I said, often we sit and we plan and we plan and we plan and we try to figure it all out. And what I've learned, whenever I do that, I usually just end up making things worse because I'm in that area of uncertainty. I'm not doing things that I know just yet. There's certain things that you can only know how to do once you take some other steps first. And you got to take these other steps and begin to walk them out. And the plan begins to unfold the further you go. And part of this is learning to walk by faith. And this style of planning takes a huge amount of trust. We're going to be trusting God to unfold the next steps at the perfect time, right when we need them, and that we'll know what to do when the time is right. And often we live in fear and worry and dread about these next steps that are out here because we don't know what they are yet. And so here's the planning process that I typically use now. You get a goal or an intention or a direction for your life. And you begin to set that intention. You give it to God and say, God, I feel like this is the direction, the goal, the intention that you're telling me to start moving in that direction. And I'll give it to him. And then what do? I take communion over that as a sign that I'm believing I'm receiving his help right now at the present moment, that he's going to begin to navigate me toward that goal. And then if you plug that into a GPS, what would happen? They would give you the list of steps, but for most of us, it's just going to give you the first step. And then when you take that first step, it's going to give you the next step. When you take the next step, it's going to give you the following step. And so what I've learned to do is set the intention. And then what do I know to do? Is there one thing that I know to do? And just begin to take that step, trusting that as I start moving forward, the next step's going to begin to unfold. And part of this, it's intention, it's planning, it's vision and direction. But it's also not trying to figure it all out either. Sticking to the things that you know to do and begin to walk those things out sequentially as God begins to unfold them. God begins to what? Order your steps. And the path grows brighter and brighter as you move down the path. But as long as we're standing still and procrastinating, nothing happens. And we can't figure it all out. If you have to figure it all out before you move forward, you'll never get there. And so you got to set the vision, the direction, the intention, and then take the first step. And then start executing as you go from there. Because even if you did have the most amazing plan in the world, it's going to change. Things are not going to unfold exactly as you plan them anyway. So you might as well stop wasting all that time. Begin to do the things that you know to do. If you know a couple steps, start with those. And then get in motion. Get the plans in motion and begin to execute as you know what to do. If you're unsure, that's when you wait. You wait in God's doorway. You wait listening for him until you know what to do. And then you go again. Sometimes there's a timing component. There's a right time for certain steps. But we're going to take communion over this. Just this idea that we can receive this from God, that we can give him our thoughts, our dreams, our plans, and receive his plans and vision for our lives and set that intention. And if you don't know anything else to do, set the intention of just doing good. Set the intention of just doing good. I had some people that I was doing some personal training, gym stuff with recently. And it actually started, I had kind of gotten out of that. And it just happened that I kind of got back in just because I was looking to do good. I wanted to just help some people that were reaching out to me, asking for help in the area. I didn't have a plan. I was just doing it to do some good. And the next thing I know, it started growing and more people were starting to come. And they were asking me, like, how many people can come? What's your plan? And I said, you know what? To be honest, I didn't even have a plan. I just had it in my heart to help. Just wanted to do good and to help. And the next thing you know, it starts growing into something bigger. So a lot of times just having that heart intention, just to go about your day, what good do you know to do? And all of a sudden these other doors begin to open that you didn't expect, but it was all along God's plan the whole time. So as we take communion, it's just this chance to receive this from God, that we can give him these things and then do what we know to do, trusting that he's going to begin to unfold the steps to us at the perfect time. And yes, there's a place for planning. There's a place for getting still. But when you get into trying to figure it all out, that's when you got to back off and say, what do I know to do? And just start executing those things. It's better to start executing those things that you know to do than to sit there planning and planning and planning and planning all these uncertain things that you're unsure of. Just begin to execute. But Heavenly Father, we just thank you for just the sacrifice of Jesus, that you are willing to send your one and only Son to die for us, that you loved us that much, that Jesus loved us that much. And if you would do that, how would you not freely give us all things? And Lord, nothing is impossible for you. Put those two things together, how much he loves you and that nothing is impossible for him. It's a very powerful formula. How much he loves you, nothing's impossible for him. We just thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he told his disciples, take it. Just receive it. Just simple gratitude. Thank you for this gift of your grace, of your love. We can have this personal relationship with you. We've got this new covenant. We can have a personal relationship with God. And I believe as you begin to plan in motion with God, and you begin to execute and walk these things out, and you see him showing up, it's going to help you to grow your relationship with him. It's going to help you to know him better, to know his heart and his love for you and his power that's been given to you. It's going to help you to know that. And Jesus said in John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they would know you, God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. To know God, to have this personal covenant relationship with him, where he's there with you in your everyday things that you're doing. Jesus said that's the definition of eternal life. We can begin to grow in that today and continue to grow in it for eternity. So, Father, we just thank you for this bread and what it represents. And we just ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So then after supper, Jesus took the cup and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many. Do this in remembrance of me. This new covenant, all possible because our sins have been forgiven. He's released us from the darkness, transferred us into the light. And now we can have this personal relationship with him. Father, we just thank you. And ask you to bless this cup in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. All right, so now it's simply about walking it out. The way I like to do this, getting onto God's rhythm. The temple in the Old Testament had a rhythm of daily things that were to be done, weekly, monthly, yearly. And our bodies are the temple now. I like to set that rhythm in my life. What are the things I know to do today, this week, this month? And what do I feel like is the direction God is leading us in for this year? Set the vision, the intention, the goal. And then what do you know to do? Day by day, what do you know to do today, this week, this month? And just start executing. Write out the things that you know to do. It's a very quick way of planning. Write out what you know needs to happen. You know God is prompting and stirring you to do. And then just start executing. And he'll begin to unfold the steps as you put it in motion. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.